This is East Texas News Roundup for the week ending February the 18th, 2019. East Texas News Roundup is a weekly review of the news in five Southeast Texas counties covered by Polk County Publishing Company newspapers, which include Tyler, Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto, and Houston counties, brought to you by the editors of those five newspapers. PCPC News Director Valerie Riddell kicks off this week's podcast from Polk County.
This week we covered a terrifying story about a woman who had been held hostage in her home for 3 days. She announced to her husband, his name is Biff Wayne Bledsoe, 44 years old of Onalaska, that she planned on ending their relationship, and he responded by locking her in the home for 3 days. They had the type of deadbolt lock that requires a key on both sides of the door, so he kept the key away from her and beat her and sexually assaulted her over a 3-day period. So that was very frightening. Finally, on the third day, he fell asleep, left the key out on the table. She managed to grab that key and run away from the home. She ran over a mile and a half to her parents' home, where she has now living. She is recovering from her injuries. And Lee Parrish of the Onalaska Police Department said she is making a recovery and has found a job and helped getting her life back together. Parrish also said that they did not learn about the incident for more than a week and a half after it happened. So I wanted to share with everybody throughout our listening area kind of some of the information. Safe House is a nonprofit organization that helps women, children, and men as well if they need help finding a safe place to live. Safe House is committed to empowering victims of family violence and sexual assault, and they help you come up with an individualized plan that take you from what you're going through today and getting you onto the next path. They work with each person to develop a custom plan. There is no one-size-fits-all plan of approach. They have clients who need a safe living environment because they just have no place else to go, as well as clients who just need a little bit of help. Maybe they need a couple of services or supplies. The stereotypical situation is a woman with small kids, you know, helping her network and find childcare so that she can go back into the workforce. So whether you live in Walker County, Trinity County, San Jacinto County, Polk County. If you live in Tyler County, they have a provider that you can reach by contacting Tyler County Sheriff's Office or Woodville Police Department. But please, if you do have a friend or loved one that's you feel like it may be experiencing family violence or domestic violence, be that listening ear that encourages them to find some help and get out of that situation. Most abusers do kind of groom their victims. A very intelligent woman with leadership skills and all that can gradually find herself in that situation of being a victim. Just talk to them and help them to open up. It's going to take several times of discussing the situation before most women who live with a batterer or men feel comfortable in making a change. But there's no reason to stay in that situation. There is a couple of hotline numbers here in Livingston. You can call 936-327-2513. That number is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They also have a Huntsville number, 936-291-3369. Safe House also announced back at the beginning of the year that Mary Kay Foundation, they got a $20,000 grant to help women overcome domestic violence and get on a path to a new life. That was one episode that happened in Onalaska. The suspect in that is in the Polk County Jail with bonds totaling $30,000. Out at the State Park on Lake Livingston, the Birds of Prey show is going to come back for another exhibition on March the 30th at the State Park. That comes out of EarthQuest. And Joel Joson says that a falconer will be out to give two presentations featuring those amazing birds of prey. They give flight exhibitions and demonstrations on how they spot and capture their prey. The first show will begin at 11 a.m. and the second will begin at 2 p.m. That's on March the 30th at Lake Livingston State Park. EarthQuest is providing park visitors with no cost, and they are accepting donations to help with their rescues and education about birds of prey. They're a 501c3. Park entrance fees at the state park are $5 for adults, and children 12 and under are free. If you want to find out more information, just Google up Lake Livingston State Park or the Texas Parks and Wildlife website, and they can give you lots more information. We also had some great news from the Livingston Junior High Junior Bells. They were named Academic Champion. They have an overall GPA of 3.961. That is just almost a perfect 4.0. They also received the Sweepstakes Trophy with Division I ratings on all three dances. They won the Judges Award for their hoop dance, a Division I rating, an average score of 96 out of 100, and they were best in class among all of the junior highs. So congratulations to Ashlyn Moore, H.G. Handland, Madison McDonald, Isabella Manning, J.C. David, Chesney Benningfield, Leslie Ojeda, Kylie Jacobs, Rusty Naren, Estefania Sacedo, Caitlin Dover, Madison Giannis, Tanya Diaz, Callie Jacobs, Emily Smith, Alexis Armstrong, Dakota Littlefair, Kinsey Lee, Aisley Garrett, Ashley Froese, Georgia Maldonado, and director Mary Heidemann and Carly Stinson for a great job representing Livingston. So that is the big news from Polk County. We'll catch you next time.
Howdy, everybody. This is Chris Edwards coming at you, representing the Eastern Contingency of the Polk County Publishing Empire, and going over a few things that have happened in the past week here in Tyler County, ripped from the headlines of the current edition of the Tyler County Booster. So I hope everybody has had a good week thus far, and so let's get after it. That's some other guy on CNN that says that, so I'll have to find a new catchphrase. How about let's get with it? They had a few big deal topics that have happened here in Tyler County in the last week, and just take it from the top. The big thing that happened and came to us Monday, actually, was the city of Woodville was awarded this $2 million grant from the General Land Office. Now, the city had applied for this grant last fall and had high hopes of getting it. And this is a very significant amount of money for the city of Woodville because they've applied for grant funding through the CDBG grants cycles, which this is actually part of before, but there'd never been anything quite this significant. It's always been grants in the amounts of the low hundreds of thousands of dollars, the low six figures. But this grant is one that's going to go toward a lot of street improvement projects in the southwest portion of Woodville, particularly over on MLK and Cardinal Streets, and maybe in other areas, according to City Administrator Mandy Reisinger, who kept us updated on the grant, where it was at with the applications and so forth over the last several months at city council meetings. That was the big story. And then also we had Woodville ISD Superintendent Glenn Connor recently announced that he will be retiring at the end of this school year. And Mr. Connor, he's been there at WISD close to 40 years in different roles, but he's been superintendent for the last 13 years. And if you get this week's edition of the Booster, there's a front page story about his announced retirement as well as a school board coverage. So be sure and check that out. In the world of criminal justice, we have a couple of interesting things that came across our way recently. One of them is a little sad news to report. There was a young man from Woodville, actually, who was in custody in Jasper, in the city jail there in Jasper. And he was found unresponsive last week in a detox cell that he was occupying. And he was 28 years old. Stephen Mitchell Qualls was his name. And death is under investigation right now by the Texas Ranger. We'll keep you abreast of any developments with that. He was from Woodville and had family and friends in the area. So definitely we'll keep abreast of that. Also, in news of criminal goings on, there was a man who met a comeuppance by way of a muddy ditch and cold weather last week. This guy, his name is James Wesley Divins, also 28, who lives in Fred, or has a listed Fred address, and was arrested after he was trying to evade Tyler County Sheriff's deputies. And pursuit followed. He turned onto a private road off of one of the county roads near Spurger, and wound up getting stuck in a ditch and then ran. But when the deputies finally caught up with him, he was cold and wet. And yeah, temperatures were right in the upper 30s, which if you've spent any time here in Tyler County, you know, is an anomaly. Doesn't usually get that cold, but it was there for a while, and now it's back up in the 70s some days. But anyway, Divins was taken into custody, and it turns out that he had an outstanding warrant for a parole violation from an old charge that he had done some time for, and now he has an evading arrest charge to pile on top of that. So there's that. I guess the old phrase holds true. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. In other news, there's been a meeting scheduled for Tuesday, February 19th, concerning the U.S. 69 corridor project as it will affect Tyler County. TxDOT is going to be on hand to answer any questions about the project, as well as to get any public input to enter into the record when considering the approach to take with this. Now, this phase of the 69 corridor project is a 13-mile project, and it includes a widening stretch of Highway 69, which is right now along that stretch a two-lane roadway that has shoulders, and they want to turn it into a four-lane divided highway with shoulders, a median, and an evacuation lane. The public has an opportunity to attend that meeting, which will take place at the Warren Junior High School cafeteria, to provide any input that they might have or voice any concerns they might have. And it goes from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. So if you have some questions or concerns about this project, put that on your calendar for February 19th, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And also, TxDOT, with any of these kind of meetings, if you've ever gone to one, they'll present, you know, maps and schematics and things of what they plan to do. And there'll be different people involved with the project, from engineers to construction people who might be there to answer questions. And if you're unable to attend, they allow you to voice your opinion or concerns via written communication. And there's information in this week's edition of the Booster about that. But you have until March 6th to go that route if need be, so that your comments or questions will be entered into public record concerning the project. That's pretty much a good roundup of things that have happened in Tyler County in the last week and taken from this week's edition of the Booster. But I want to take a moment here to send a word of a tribute to a gentleman who passed last week. Working for a small town newspaper, of course, you see a lot of people's names come across for the obituaries who you know them or know of them. It's always sad when you see somebody that you knew well or grew up with or whatever, but this gentleman who passed, named Jesse Lazenby, died last week, and he was 97, which, you know, 97's a really good run. He was a good friend of my granddad's, and they used to hang out a lot, and kind, just sweetheart of a man, and had a lot of great stories, and he and his widow Cecile are both very fine people. Yeah, 97's a good run, and we were very honored to publish a piece about him that appeared last year in the November 22nd edition of the paper. One of our writers, Eddie Box, is a member of the Heritage Society here and does a lot of writing about local history, was able to interview Mr. Lazenby for a story that he wrote about the Tyler County, the CCC camp that was here in the 1930s, and Camp Leonard Wood was what the name of it was. And the article, along with Mr. Lazenby's recollections and such, went into detail about what the CCC was and some of the projects that they helped out with. And back in that time during the Great Depression, that's the only way that a lot of young men were able to find any work. And I always heard stories about the CCC camps growing up. I had some great uncles who were employed through them. And Mr. Lazenby gave his account. And it was a very interesting piece. And maybe one of these days we might rerun it now that he's passed. Hats off to Mr. Jesse Lazenby. Rest in peace, good sir. And with that, I bid you all farewell, and as always, be good to one another and be good to yourselves.
Well, hello to all of you who listen to the East Texas News Roundup. This is Jacob McAdams. I am, of course, the editor of the San Jacinto News-Times. And we have had a pretty busy week, I should say, or really these past 2 weeks with San Jacinto County. Last week, the San Jacinto County Chamber held its first luncheon, held them in January, April, and I believe another one in August. But the first one was held January 29th. And this luncheon had Michelle Moss, who's a county extension agent for San Jacinto County as part of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office. She was the guest speaker. And she discussed the impact of the rainy weather in the county. For those of you who aren't quite as aware or just haven't really paid as much attention, we've been having some pretty heavy rains since the month of September. And that rain has basically had some impact on the county. Most notably, it has pretty much destroyed some of the hay bale production. A lot of people are finding that there is a shortage of it in the local area. And currently, we do not know where you may be able to find hay bales. But if anyone is able to find hay bales for purchase in the local area for citizens of Sanderson County, please let people know. We don't really know when the rain is going to let up. We're supposed to be getting another 3 months of rain, which can have other impacts on the environment. So far, there is no flooding, though, so that's good. We also had the Denim and Diamonds event, which is done by the Sanderson County Area Go Texan Committee. It is a fundraiser that was held here on February 2nd over at the Cold Spring Community Shelter, which was recently constructed. It is part of the GLO project that we had a while back in response to Hurricane Ike. Basically, those who attend are able to purchase a dinner and also are able to participate in a number of raffle items. They kind of divide those up differently. There's some items that are on shelves and there's buckets outside of them that you drop raffle tickets in. You can buy playing cards to basically act as a raffle for other items. You know, they determine it by which kind of card it is. You know, is it the Queen of Hearts, King of Spades, and which deck it is. And they determine that by the back of the card. You know, is it a red card, a blue card, that sort of thing. And then, of course, they had the live auction, and probably one of the biggest selling items, or actually probably, I think it was the best selling item, was a gun case sold for somewhere north of $1,100. I think it was $1,125, but I could be wrong on that. Regardless, it was a successful fundraiser. The past few years, they have provided scholarships for about 15 to 20 San Jacinto County students. So that's both Cold Spring Oakhurst High School and Shepherd High School. And basically, those scholarships can range anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000. So they're nothing to sneeze at. They're pretty excellent scholarships. Students who may be wishing to receive one of these scholarships, bear in mind that the application process will be coming up soon, and you should check with your local counselors to see when that will be. We also had Morning with the Mayor in Shepherd over on February 1st. That was with Mayor Charles Minton. He's wanting to host these on a regular basis. He's not sure if he's going to do it monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly. He's not entirely sure what he wants to do, but he wants to spend a morning over a scheduled period of time just talking to the citizens. You know, let citizens come in and talk to him, you know, address their issues. He had issues this time that the ones that he had addressed were regarding animal control, paving the streets, and dealing with what do you do whenever you see a neighbor that's got a massive amount of litter on their property. So he addressed a number of items. This is what we could do, or he'd tell people if we're not entirely sure, we're going to do what we can to understand what our grasp is on the situation. So he's providing another avenue for citizens to come and discuss what they have going on in the city. We've had a couple ribbon cuttings here. We have had one that was on February 4th. It was for Della's Pizza Kitchen in Shepherd. It's off of Highway 59 coming back from Livingston, and you're coming into Shepherd. You'll see it. It's not far from where Texas Grill was before Texas Grill had unfortunately caught on fire. But Della's Pizza Kitchen was unfortunately damaged during Hurricane Harvey, and it has reopened, and they had their ribbon cutting on February 4th to celebrate that. And another ribbon cutting was held for Shepherd City Hall. Now, a lot of people may not be aware. Yeah, although I think most everyone is, but Shepherd City Hall is no longer at its old location that was next to A Plus Donuts, I think it is, actually. It is actually located on the same street as Shepherd Public Library, which is Liberty Street. They have been in there for a couple months now, and they actually had an open house on Thursday, February 7th, and that was when they also did the ribbon cutting, but they, you know, showed it off. You know, they have more room. They're able to hold meetings there. If you weren't aware, Shepherd City Council is having all of its meetings at the community center. And of course, there's nothing, that was largely because there's just no space at the old location for City Hall. Now they do have space in their new City Hall to have their meetings. The old City Hall, I do believe, from what I'm understanding, is going to be used by the Precinct 2 Constable's Office. So I do believe that you will be seeing Constable Roy Pippin Jr., as well as any of his deputies, they should be in there. I could be wrong on that, but that was what I was understanding. And our other news item that we've had, we do have a college signing this week, which involves Riley Rudloff. She is a senior for Cold Spring Oakhurst CISD. She is going to be playing softball for the Southwestern University Pirates. The university is located about 20 miles from Austin. They are called the Pirates, which, of course, is going to offer some confusion because She's a Trojan, but she's playing for the Pirates, but not the Shepherd Pirates, of course. But it is kind of funny. She plays center field for the Lady Trojans. She's played for the team since her freshman year, on the varsity team, that is. Also plays in volleyball and is going to be participating in track this year. She, last year, had gotten second place to being defensive MVP. And in her sophomore and junior years, she was picked for first team all-district outfielder. She has a lot of interest in ag. However, she is going to major in biology. And the plan for her is to become a physical therapist. And to some extent, what she's hoping is that this will be able to have her be able to work with athletes as well. So it actually ties into her sports career, so to speak. That's what she's planning to be doing. She was coached in her sophomore and junior year by Coach Klingler, and she has faced bigger districts in some of her years against teams from Huffman and Tarkington. So we do wish her luck, and she also expresses her thanks to her family and her friends who have all stood behind her throughout her life. So that's what we have going on here in San Jacinto County. Keep your ears open. We do have other events coming up soon. If you're interested in helping out your local community, you can look up the Community and Children's Impact Center. They are currently still looking for volunteers and donations for the upcoming Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish event. Now, that event won't be held until May. However, every help that they can get now and anyone that they could get to volunteer on the day of the event is going to be greatly appreciated by the executive director of the Impact Center, Brenda Myers. You can do a number of things. You can donate food, such as the briskets, which is what Brenda has says they really need. Last year, she said that they did not have enough to feed volunteers and the kids that were attending. And so she's hoping to be able to address that this year. And also they need volunteers to work, such as being ushers, I guess you could say, for people coming in to set up camp and whatnot, and also working security. If you want to reach out to Brenda, you could call her at 936-499-2632. And that's what we have going on, and I hope to see y'all again next week.
Hi, y'all. Megan here with updates on Houston County. So what is going on in Houston County? It has been a busy week here in this part of East Texas. A murder, elections are gearing up, and a local woman made history. So let's dive in. Bad news first. A Lufkin man, Tyron Mark, 48, was arrested for the alleged murder of another Lufkin man, Kadarius Williams. Last Friday, Kadarius's body was found on Arroyo Road in Tadmore. It's a small town near the Ratcliffe area of Houston County. He died of gunshot wounds. According to the Houston County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy G.P. Scherer, and within 72 hours after finding Kadarius, there was an arrest in the case, and that is when Tyron was arrested on Sunday. So let me tell you a little bit about the case. During the weekend, I was texting back and forth with Scherer about what was going on with the case and where they were, and it was crazy to see how fast it all came together. The police talked with Tyron on Saturday evening, and during that time, he attempted to elude officers and a vehicle pursuit ensued, but the law enforcement was eventually able to stop him, and he was arrested for evading, and that is when law enforcement were able to recover alleged evidence that linked the suspect to the murder. And by 11 a.m., the Houston County Sheriff's Office deputies had a warrant, and that is when Tyron was arrested for murder. And GP wasn't able to discuss a motive or a personal connection between the two, since the case is still under investigation, but it was just incredible to see law enforcement work so fast. Sometimes cases like these go unsolved for years, but luckily, this wasn't the case for Kadarius. And I do want to give a shout out to the DPS, Texas Rangers, Lufkin Police Department, and Alto Police Department in helping our local law enforcement with the investigation. And for Kadarius's family, they have set up a GoFundMe for Kadarius's funeral. And you can search funeral for Kadarius Williams on GoFundMe.com to locate that if you want to donate some money for the family. And so there's a lot of questions about the motive. How do these people know each other? And just make sure you keep updated with a courier, and we will update the public as more information is released from law enforcement. In other news in Houston County, the first woman was elected as fire chief at the Ostonio Volunteer Fire Department. and that was Bobby Albright. She is the mother of the Courier's graphic designer, Timber Woolley, who is also a firefighter, and that is really awesome. So congratulations, Bobby, and she is replacing her husband, Billy, as the fire chief. Just a little history on Bobby. She joined the fire station in 2002 as a probational firefighter, and since then has served in multiple capacities, and now she is chief. So we live in a time where women are doing these incredible things and showing that we're not the underdog, but we are a top dog, and we can't stand there with any man. So congratulations, Bobby. And in the article, Bobby said that she understands the historical significance of being the first female fire chief in Houston County, but she does not feel that she is more significant than someone else. And there is a quote where she said, "I am just one member of an awesome family of firefighters in their county." And she could continue to say that they all work together to serve their communities. And to me, that is a good sign of a leader. So I'm so excited for her to take on this new role of leadership. So once again, congratulations, Bobby. And I also just want to say a big thank you for all of our first responders here in Houston County and in East Texas and just everywhere. We are truly grateful for their protection and their sacrifice that they to protect the everyday citizen. So as in talk of the election here in Houston County, the mayor's position and two council member seats are going up for grabs, just among the others that are up for grabs. And let me just say, this is going to be a hot topic for the next few months as May 4th approaches. Also on the ballot is the fate of our local Crockett Economic and Industrial Development Corporation, whether it will stay or go. So make sure you're registered to vote. April 4th is the last day to register to vote in Texas in the spring elections. And you can visit votetexas.gov for more info on ways to register. Make sure to keep up in the Courier about who's running, what places they are running for. We have our political calendar that is up in this issue and will keep going until the elections are over. It will show you who is running and what spots they are running for. And it is just so important to vote and to get out there and to really show what your opinion is and what you really think that should happen. Your voice is so important, and don't ever forget that. So also in this week's paper, there's coverage on the last commissioner's meeting, the Houston County Hospital District meeting from Friday. Plus, I take readers through Latexo High School's Health Careers Program on page 7A in the newspaper. Teachers there are striving to grow their health program by adding classes and certifications. They are also moving away just in the health program from working with Angelina College to get these certifications, but they are striving to get the certifications through their own high school, which is an amazing opportunity for these students to get training while they are in high school. So once they graduate, they can go out and pursue different career goals as they continue school, or if they just want to go straight into the workforce. And the day I went to interview students and teachers at Latexo, they were doing a lab by practicing medical skills on a potato. And that potato had arms and a leg, so it looked like a little potato man. And it was funny to see, but you could tell that these students were definitely learning. They were in scrubs, and they each had roles as if they were actually in the operating room. And there is a picture of that, so you don't want to miss that. And that is on page 70, so check that out. And of course, we have updates on our local sports teams, coverage of the biennial State of the State speech. It was last Tuesday from Governor Abbott. And there's just a lot of news in this week's issue of the Courier. Plus, this weekend in Crockett, we have the Davy Crockett Classic bike race that will be held this weekend. We have the course on 8A, and Love Fest festivities begin tonight with the Royal Court. There will be a new queen, so you don't want to miss that. That's at 7 p.m. There's more information on that on page 2A. So make sure to attend, have a lot of fun, send us your pictures. There's just lots going on in Houston County. And make sure to keep watch on our Facebook page at HC Courier for the latest information. And don't forget to pick up your newspaper on newsstands today. And I will see you next time.
Over here in Trinity County, on the west side of the coverage area, we've got some pretty heavy stuff going on, especially in the good old town of Groveton, where the county seat is. Groveton ISD Superintendent Don Hamilton, who's been with the district for more than 20 years in some capacity, whether it be assistant principal, head principal, assistant superintendent, or now superintendent, a position he's held since 2013, received a 3-year contract extension, which expires at the end of the 2022 school year. We also had a death last Saturday in Trevat, just outside of Groveton, that's being investigated. And the Trinity County Sheriff's Department and the Texas Rangers are heading up the case on this one. And at Groveton High School, we have a feature on 4 sets of siblings. Anthony and Martin Chavez, who are brothers on the Groveton boys basketball team, as well as brothers Eli and Malachi Stewart, and we have brother-sister tandems as well. We have a pair of sophomore twins, Luke and Lena Taylor, who play for the Indians and Lady Indians, respectively. And we have Lexus and Irel Valian. Lexus is the lone senior on the Lady Indians squad, who ended their season last week. And Irel is a sophomore for the Indians. Speaking of the Groveton Indians, they will be going to the postseason, either as the 3rd or 4th place team out of District 22A. And the commissioners voted to close a bridge just outside of Trevat on Sunny Sailor Road that needs repair. And they also talked about discrepancies in timesheets at their latest commissioners court meeting, which happened 2 weeks ago. And Battle of Blackjack Grove is coming to Groveton. It is a Civil War reenactment that's been going on for 4 years. This is the 4th annual one. It takes place February 16th through 17th, so mark your calendars, folks. And Doug Page, our Trinity County judge, also wrote a letter to the community talking about things such as a new health care provider for the Trinity Hospital, Health Point out of Bryan College Station. And he also hit on changes in the commissioner's court, which, of course, Precinct 2 Commissioner Mike Lofton and Precinct 4 Commissioner Stephen Truss replace previous commissioners Rich Chamberlain and Jimmy Brown, respectively. Also, our buddies over in Tyler County helped cover the trial of a man who pleaded for 20 years on an online solicitation charge. Yes, Damon Paul Allen pleaded guilty for online solicitation of a minor back in April 2017, and he is now serving 20 years. And last but not least, the city of Groveton received a clean audit. So that's good for the city of Groveton. And also, with sports going on, not only did the Groveton Indians clinch a playoff berth, but both Trinity teams have a chance to make the playoffs as well. The Trinity Lady Tigers tied the Onalaska Lady Cats for 4th place, and they are playing Friday night at 7:30 at Trinity High School to determine who gets to go to the postseason as the 4th place team out of District 23-3A, and who gets to go home and focus on softball and track. The Trinity Tigers, if they win on Friday, if they defeat Onalaska, which takes place at 6 p.m., and Anderson Shiro loses at Hempstead, then the Tigers will clinch a playoff spot as well. In a grand reversal, the Trinity boys play at 6, while the Trinity girls play at 7:30. It's usually the exact opposite. But because the girls' regular season has ended, they're just now going to do the playoff play-in and go from there. That's it from Trinity County.